My childhood. Well, as I remember, it was during my years of being five years old at the time, and the beginning of my inspiration in art was when my kindergarten teacher had painted on a blackboard a fish, a very colorful, huge fish. I was so amazed at her at her talent that I said, I'm going to be like her when I grow up. I'm going to be a great artist like her. So when I think of it, it wasn't all that great, you know. But the colors just fascinate me. So that's what the reason I'm a bit of a colorist. I love color in my paintings. Except, of course, you know, for the wash and the pen and inks that I do. I love doing drawings. I love drawing as well, so... So this is where it actually started in the beginning. I was really a lonely child. I was, you know, just me, myself, and I the whole time. And so can you hear me?
Yes.
So nearby in Yerushalayim, where it's, where you go to the rabbis, where is it? Here, this road here.
Right.
There was used to be hills and olive trees and rocks and masses of wild flowers and things like that. So I used to run away, which was near to our house. I was only 5 or 4, and nobody sort of really cared where I went or what, because Mummy was a nurse at that time. She was working. Daddy left us for Vienna. So that's the reason Mummy had to work and so on and so forth. And then, of course, I had my little brother. Anyway, so I was really, the happiest times was when I was to run off on my own. And I did that most of my life, just running away from life. Anyway, so that was part of the beginning of it. Then my mother was getting a bit tired of this hard work and so on, looking after both of us. So my aunt came from Vienna. My aunt came from Vienna. And this is where my father lived for 5 years. I hadn't seen him for 5 years. She insisted that Mummy leave Yerushalayim and go back with her to my father. Because she said it wasn't a very good idea for Mummy to be alone anymore. So...
What year was this?
Oh, when I was 5.
Okay.
And then 6. I was then 6 when... Yes. So Mummy would agree to that, you know. And we left. It was at, when I was 6. I'm now 16. No, what am I? What am I now? No, I've got 65. Isn't it strange? I forgot my how old I am. Never mind. So it was around about, I think, 1935, something like that, when we arrived in Vienna. So... The boat was terrific, you know. I enjoyed the boat and so on. Everything was a beautiful world of sea, and I fell in love with the sea. The more the stormier, the better I liked. I liked the waves splashing on it. Anyway, so we arrived in Vienna. My mother's father got together, and everybody was very happy at the time. And my father said, I don't know how long I'm going to live here, because he didn't like what was going on. He saw signs which were becoming a bit hectic there. So we were there for a good few months, 6 months, something like that. We didn't stay long. So my father said he must go and find us a home in Czechoslovakia, because he had many friends there, and business-wise as well. So Mummy said, all right, well, you go ahead and let us know quickly what's happened. And we finally heard that it's fine, we should leave immediately. Apparently, our passport was written in Arabic at the time. And my name was Lieber. My father loved me very much. He gave me five names, all with one idea that love, you know, Ahuva, Haviva, Lieber, Mom Eme, you know, all the languages in the earth, it was in that passport. So anyway, we had this passport, which was written in Mummy's passport, you know, my brothers and I, we were three of us in one passport. And it was in Arabic, you know. So when we got into the train, there was inspectors in boots, you know, swastikas, and I didn't know what it was, you know. Some were had to be told to get off the train, and I couldn't understand what's going on. So Mummy said, "Don't worry, don't worry." She was a very tough egg. Mummy was very tough. And she just smiled away. Passport. And we gave the passport and he said, "Yeah, it's good. Off he's in." And off he went. Mm-hmm. And we went off quietly. We were one of the lucky ones. Baruch Hashem. So we managed to get out of Berlin and then Czechoslovakia, Prague. We were there 2 years. I studied in the schools there, non-Jewish schools. They spoke German and Czech. And I still spoke my Hebrew at home. And then we went off after 2 years. Again, we had to run off again because of the situation. And we heard that they were going to be able to, the Nazis are coming, blah, blah, and whatnot. So we made a dash to London, England. And my father was there as usual and got himself a place. And we found a beautiful community, which were the Mashadi. We know, you know, we are Mashadis. And not a big community, very small. And my father, because he was in yeshiva, he knew a lot about the Torah, so we needed a rabbi. So my father was there. That was in Stamford Hill. We lived in Stamford Hill, in London. And there, of course, immediately the war came, the Blitz. And I went to a school where, again, it was non-Jewish schools, and I couldn't speak English, and I had a terrible complex of being stupid and all that, you know. But I used to take from my arithmetic book, I used to draw in arithmetic books and this and that, because I couldn't speak English very well. But the teacher spoke to me in German. And so I was doing all sorts of things. They were creating from cardboard houses, and I was doing that. And I was very good and was very happy with that, and with colors, you know, and all that. So I was doing these things all throughout my life, you know, as a child, changing from school to school while the war was on. And then my school decided to evacuate all the children in the class to the States. So Mummy got hesitant about it and says, "Yes, it's better I should send you to the States." So we packed a whole bag full of things, my brother and I, and we went to the station with the school, all the school children together. Everybody goes on the train, the whistle starts. "You're not going," she says. We stayed. Next morning we hear that this was torpedoed, that the whole ship was torpedoed, where I was to have gone to the state. So this was one of the miracles. You know, Yoni, I had so many miracles in my life. It's unbelievable. God loves me, and I love God. So there you are. That's part of it. And again, back in school, again, we decided, you know, in the school, I still was pretty stupid. My mother kept saying I was stupid, you know. She didn't think very highly of me. Anyway, she never thought that I'd be an artist or anything like that. But I never forget them. I always wanted to be. So the whole community decided to leave London because of the Blitz. It was getting very dangerous now. Bombs and near us, all the houses are being destroyed by these bus bombs, you know, and what are they? You know, they just have stopped going and they just drop. So we don't know, it just goes in a circle. And so it was very dangerous, you see. So we all started to went on a bus to go to Devonshire. Devonshire is a beautiful place. Cornwall. Did you hear of Cornwall? I loved it. When me, I got to Cornwall, I said, this is it. This is where I can go to the beach on my own. I can find this on my own. Do things on my own. I was so delighted that I felt free, you know, to do what I wanted. And I loved the school they sent me because the teachers were very kind. They knew we evacuated to London. Can you hear me?
Yep.
We're from London. And so they take a special interest in us. And we, the Mashadi girls, were very well mannered compared to the other peasants. They all want to become servants in hotels and things like that, you know. And we were a different sect altogether. But during prayers, our headmistress, Miss Phillips, was an angel. I adored her. She said, you children have to stay outside while we say our prayers. So we did that. And we were there for several years, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. I forgot them. And I was absolutely a dance and arithmetic and spelling and what have you. And I drew. So they said, the teacher said, you know, dear, we would like you to go into a room all by yourself and you can draw as much as you like. So they threw me colors and papers. And that's what I did. And eventually I picked up what I wanted to pick up, you know. Speak English correctly and spelling was a lousy, the spelling was lousy. But it was part of my development. They were very clever, the teachers. They encouraged what you knew best. So, particularly my headmistress, she was very, very wonderful. And she was also very talented in art. So we had this operetta. It was called Minnehaha. It was an Indian operetta. So we looked, you know, the type. So she picks me as the princess Minnehaha. And it's a singing part. I said, I can't sing, miss. Miss, I can't sing. I was getting a panic. But you look like Minnehaha. I said, I started laughing. Ha ha. And you know. So I did get the part. I got one of the slaves. Come, go there. Without words. Anyway, so I painted a whole series of Minnehaha. Paintings of the chief and this. It was very good, you know, about that size. About half a dozen of those I painted for the school. Because the headmistress wanted me to do it. So eventually, I managed to do a little painting in there. And Miss Phillips, my headmistress, she said that I want you to go in the evenings to an art school where you can carry on from there. And that was, I was about 13 at the time. And then I picked up quite a lot there as well. And I was fascinated by the whole thing. But of course, you know, I had my escapades running down to the beach by myself, you know. This was a smuggler's cave, which nobody was there. It was desolate, you know, you get the caves and the tiny beach. And you could throw the stones where they go, things like that, you know. Are you getting bored?
Just the opposite. It's fascinating.
Yeah?
Telling me things that you didn't tell me
Ah, I thought I can't talk or something. So it's good practice for me anyway, because I don't talk enough. Anyway, so what did I want to say? So my mother came to the headmistress and she said, "I want my daughter to become a doctor or something, you know, more useful and to be more useful." But Mrs. Mayday, she'll never become an academic, and she will not be a doctor or anything else but an artist. I'm sorry, Mrs. Mayday, but this is out. I think she should go to London to art school, and from there she can proceed with her life. Mum said, "Oh, no, I don't think she's been." And she insisted. I said, so she said, "Look, I know the principal," because she had connections with the principal of St. Martin's School of Art. I think she knew him from years back. I don't know what. So I got a letter from him. And she said, "You've got to go back to London immediately," she said, for your daughter's sake and all that. And it was still a war. But my father insisted that really, my father was very determined that I do what I wanted to do. And, yes, so we went to London to be managed to find a home again. And then a few days later, my mother took the letter and me to the principal. And he said, yes, we have an appointment, and so on and so forth, because we made one. And he says to the principal, "She's a very good girl, you know." She's some daddy stuffy, "I don't like this, you know. I feel like an idiot." "Don't say it, please. Aber lola sotizian, vakesh it." I could laugh at this, but I was terribly upset about it, because I felt grown up going to, you know. So to say, "Yes, and how old is she?" "She's 14, my father says. "Yes, I'm 14, I said, "Yes." See? Now I was so worried that they won't accept me. "So you know she's not below age. I don't know that, as Mrs. Phillips mentioned, she will accept you." And I was the youngest one in the whole school. And then my mother said she wants me to be a fashion artist, fashion designer. So I said, "Mom, I don't want to be a fashion designer, I just want to be an artist." "Yes, you're going to be a fashion designer." So I said, "All right, you know what? I'll take a few lessons of this and a few lessons of that, and I will do sculpture. I want to do everything connected to art. This is what I want." So she submitted to that. So I had both worlds of this, fashions and the real world, which I wanted to experience. Yes, so it was great. And then, of course, there was still was pretty heavy fighting in the planes and what have you, I remember. And so we were to go to this magnificent place. It was called the museum. There was a big museum, Victorian Albert Museum. I don't know whether you heard of it in London. And there I was sent to the library, which is the dome for circles and windows below and all that. And each one had a place to study, and they used to have lifts to go up, and with books and things which I wanted to know what's going on. I managed to study quite a bit there, a few hours with a class. And then one day we were sitting and I was standing there, and there was this buzz bomb came right on. It stopped and we all went under the table. The whole glass crashed against our table, and I was left carrying on life, you know. And that was another miracle. And lots of things happened at the time. And I slowly was there. It became 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and I got engaged to Ellie. And there I stopped. I managed to get my diploma from there. And that was my... But I always painted. The children came first after I was pregnant. I thought that these are my precious things in life. Mm-hmm. The true precious things. Mm-hmm. Not the delusions and things like that. Yes. And that's it, part of it, you know. Then I had exhibitions, and, you know, I did exhibition at home because we had a magnificent house in London. So I managed to do exhibitions there and Chelsea art shows. And I belong to the Ben Uri Galleries, which is a very famous art society in London. I used to go in the evenings there to the Paint Life, you know. And I carried on to working lots of exhibitions. Wherever I heard there's going to be a collective, you know, exhibitions for artists, I used to apply for it, and I used to exhibit. I managed to sell one or two here and there, which was very, very exciting, you know, my first paintings and all that. So that's it, part of it. It's part of it. But I didn't like London. Things were getting a bit... didn't like to be with people who were not nice. And so I said, I'm not going to bring up my children here. I'm going back home with the children. I said to Ellie there and then, this is not for us. So we came to Israel, back home. Do you want me to carry on?
Please, it's great.
Yes? Yes. Abroad came, they liked my works, commissions, and then the army came. I used to, groups of army used to come and tell me, what am I doing in my ashram? And I explained to them, this is where I belong, and this is what I represent. They were very, they all came, and then the girls group came. So it was a monthly thing. The girls used to come up here and they sit on the floor, the army girls sit, and I had to lecture to them about what am I doing here, an old grandma in my ashram who speaks English only. And that's it, you know, it was great fun. And eventually we managed to get the the Hoover's Gallery. Mm-hmm. Baruch Hashem, and that's it. Yeah, so this is it.
So let me ask you another question. Do you feel a sense of mission? In other words, in your work, do you feel a responsibility to be creating or reporting on something that people... What is it that you want to... What do you want to...
Of course. Of course. This is what I feel. And it's in the same work as writers and composers and things like that. I'm not any different from them. I mean, here I'm trying to show the world that was the beautiful part of the life. And I always used to present never sad things, happy things, and our environment, and who we are and what we are, why we existed, and why are we the survivors, in other words. Because we believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu, we believe in the power above, Hashem. And this is what I'm trying to present. I did a lot of Holocaust things, you know, because I remember we used to watch television and I couldn't take it anymore. I still haven't been to the Yad Vashem because I can't take it. So this lady who came yesterday, she wants my drawings from the Holocaust. So I said, I don't like showing them, but I need them. I wanted to make article. And I said, look, I can't. So I made a few drawings, you know. I don't know, the day before she came, I said, you see, this is what I don't like doing. Can I have these two?
Sure.
Here, underneath. These two drawings here. You see? See what I'm trying to say here? The doctors. The cruelty of a young baby. And the old man scrubbing the floors of the street. So I can't do that, I said to her. I can't do this, only happy things. And you know, I find that a lot of the Gentiles, Larry, they get fascinated by my work. Only yesterday, you know, they see that, did you see the large painting of the Messiah in Jerusalem? So here, the couple came in and they want it. Why the Messiah? And a lot of Christians like my work. So that means that I'm going the right way. It's for humankind, for the world. Not only the Jewish, the whole world. Our world is becoming uglier and uglier. People are becoming more stupidly cruel for no reason at all. Killing. So Hashem's doing kosher le Pesach, the world. So we are surviving, we're going to survive it all. Bezat Hashem, we hope to see Mashiach pretty soon. Bezat Hashem. Okay.
Is it enough? Or do you want more?
I mean, it's never enough. So you. So.
What should I tell you? I can't wait. I work all the time.
Yoni. I work all the time. That's why I have to go into hospital every time to about my heart. I get palpitation. I can't sleep at night because I get overtired. And there's no stopping with me, you know, because time is too precious.
Now you make me feel guilty, so
I'm 86. I just remembered. I'm 86. Thank you.
Okay. So, let's see, we have, I don't know how long we've been going, but it's up to you if there's anything else you feel. I mean, you talked about some very important things, not only your life, but your message. Is there any other important things that you want people to, you want them to take out of your art? Like if you could be standing behind the art when someone is looking at it and you say, hey, stupid, this is the message I want to tell you. So what would the message be? What would you tell them?
I see. Well, I'll tell you what. There's nothing to think very hard about my paintings. It's not anything sophisticated or intellectual or anything. It's for the ordinary man who is looking for beauty and the truth. I mean, you get these artists today who, oh, God help them. There's, I heard that in the auction they put a huge box, wooden box, and there's a hole in the box, a round hole, and there's a man's head smiling. Millions have been, it was in an auction room, millions of dollars they pay for this box. I don't understand it anymore, art. And organs from a cow in Chelsea canvas. A line, black line, stopping at the bottom with a little black dot. And that's 15,000 million. Million for that painting. Now I could never kid that. Kid the people like that. And even Picasso, at the end, he was laughing at people. How can you enjoy my work? He used to scribble and he used to laugh behind his back. Behind his hand. Yeah, you can't. You can't do that. I couldn't do a thing like that. You ask me a question, would you? This is my answer to you, that I would never do anything to upset anybody. Just want to see somebody come in the morning, and just look at my painting and feel better after being miserable all night or something. And he comes to the room and he sees my paintings. And it makes all the difference to life. Not this stupid new type of modern painting. I don't like them.
So I'll remember last time I was here, I asked you, how is it possible, from a layman's point of view, that if you don't get out much, yet you have so much clear visuals in your head that you don't...
I read a lot. I read. I like reading. I get information a lot from the Bible as well, and stories from Zedman. I like that. Have you read any scenes from Zedman?
No.
Zman. It's a very good magazine. Get it. Comes out every month. It's very interesting. And what else? Autobiographies. Yes. It's mostly also memories, you know, which I visualize things a lot, you know. It's not that I see it often, but I literally realize. And as for the dances, which is very popular with people today, it comes very instinctive to me. Did you see the blue dances, the big blue dances, two in the gallery, a very large one? Did you see that?
I was there recently, yeah.
Yeah? Well, people just look at it and they love it. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it's happening. People, there's the same height as them. Mm-hmm. It's them dancing.
Change over time? And
yes, it became better and better. It improved. It improved a lot.
Is there such a thing as an event in life that makes you change your art form, or is it just your own growth and nothing to do with the world?
Mm. Basically, I'm a happy person. I won't allow anything to upset me or disturb me. I run away from it. I think that helped. If I was to have painted, and I would, like today, some people, artists, do some terrible, miserable works, yeah, I could never do that. So that's where my success is. I mean, I'm a draftsman, and my sketches, my drawings are very good, I would say, you know. So that helps a lot to my actual producing paintings in oils and other materials. I like most materials I feel very happy with.
Yet so many artists, at least what you read about, were maybe manic depressive, or you know, they ups and downs, highs and lows. And so you just have the highs.
Well, look, no person is completely sane all the time. I have my moments as well, you know. I can't say I'm perfect in any way. No, I have also my thing. I never get bored, but I get lonely. I never get bored.
So, but you have it, but would you say that your personality is not typical of artists that you read about who had these, you know, they were
downs and ups?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. It's just up and down, because if I don't paint one day, it goes down. You know, I feel upset that I haven't done. And now this I'm just, I've got a, but and it doesn't seem to finish, because I've had a lot of what did I have? Just prevent me. Yeah, I wasn't feeling well, so I had to stop. But I hope to finish it this week. I hope. What's today?
Wednesday.
Oh, I've got only to tomorrow. I don't paint on Fridays.